guests, strains of the latest fashionable waltz escaped into the crisp night air. Lady Lambourne's annual masked ball was famous, and everyone of consequence in London hoped for an invitation. The ballroom inside was crowded. Tiaras sparkled under glowing chandeliers. Couples whirled elegantly about the dance floor, creating a melee of colours. The muslin drapes at the French windows billowed gently, ushering in a welcome breeze. Sylvia, daughter of the Duke of Belem, had danced until she was dizzy. She was hoping to sit out the next waltz, but here yet was another gentleman reminding her that his name was on her card. She rose with as much grace as she could muster. If she sat out too many dances, she knew her two sisters or her stepmother, the Duchess of Belem, would swoop on her with outraged cries. Her sisters, Edith and Charlotte, had both managed to secure husbands at the last ball. Now it was to be Sylvia's turn. The last thing Sylvia wished for, however, was a society husband. Since her father, the Duke of Belem, had remarried some 8 years ago, the family had lived in London. The new Duchess of Belem wished it that way. She had no desire to bury herself and her handsome stepdaughters deep in the country, at the family seat of Castle Belem. "Why, I'd simply die with all that silence," she would cry, when the Duke tried to coax her into spending a summer at the castle. "And when it isn't silent, the noise is simply barbarous. Cows and cockerels and dogs and foxes howling in the woods. My darling husband, if you love me, you'll never ask me to disappear into the wilds like that." The Duke would fall silent, for he did love the Duchess, and he was grateful that she was such a conscientious stepmother. As he did not relish spending the summers alone, he remained with his family in London or on the Riviera, where the Duchess insisted they keep a seafront residence. It was on the Riviera that he had discovered the pleasures of the casinos. His elder daughters, Edith and Charlotte, were delighted with their existence. They shared with their stepmother a love of town gossip, expensive hats, tea parties and balls. Sylvia, however, longed for the country life. She greatly missed Castle Belem, where she had lived until the age of 10. She remembered frosty mornings when she had run out to help the housemaid search for eggs. She remembered the bleating of lambs in the spring. She remembered lazy summer days when she sat in the boathouse, dangling her feet in the river. Days when the smell of new-mown hay filled the air. She remembered most of all riding out with her father early in the morning, when the dew still glittered on the grass. She and her father shared a passion for the country and for ancient Castle Belem. Sometimes in London, they rode out in Rotten Row, but it was not the same. There were too many other riders, and one was rarely allowed to gallop. Sylvia flinched as her latest partner dug his fingers into her waist. She stared resolutely over his shoulder as they slowly circled the floor. Oh, she was bored. Bored with all this. Her satin shoes pinched her feet, and her mask pinched her nose. She had danced with so many dull men who only wanted to indulge in light banter. Surely there was someone here who had something to talk about other than Ascot or the latest singing sensation at Covent Garden. At last the dance ended, and Sylvia was led back to her seat. She sank gracefully onto the red velvet chaise and surreptitiously eased her feet out of her shoes. She exercised her ankles under her white dress, turning them first this way, then that. "What are you doing, Sylvia?" came the simultaneous voices of her sisters. Sylvia looked up guiltily. Edith and Charlotte loomed over her. They were dressed respectively in red and jade, with matching masks through which their eyes glinted suspiciously. "My feet are so tired," explained Sylvia. "I just had to take a rest." "Have you kicked off your shoes?" demanded Edith incredulously. Sylvia nodded. "Oh, what are we going to do with you?" cried Charlotte. "Even after all this time in London, you still act like a country..."